Bible tonight, if you will, and go to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. And Dalton, God use you again, brother. I saw him in the coffee shop this afternoon, and I told him, I said, I know a couple years ago when I was here, you sang that, the song they did this morning. I said, and it was good then. I said, but son, God has blessed you since then. It was awesome this morning. And I appreciate your music and your enthusiasm for God and for the gospel. It's pretty cool because I've got to see Robbie Michelle's kids grow up and serve the Lord. And he's getting to see mine grow up and serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for friends. Friends make life a whole lot easier. Tonight I'm excited because my friend Mike Shipp came to see us tonight, and I hadn't seen Mike for at least 4 or 5 years, I think. We were trying to figure out how long ago that's been. But I was thinking, and me and him was talking a while ago, he helped me move my dad one time from South Florida to Upton, Kentucky. And that's a long drive. And we rented a U-Haul or something, and my dad was in his van, and we left St. Lucie County, Florida, and we got somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but somewhere either North Florida or South Georgia, and it got to be late, and we got to hunt in a hotel room. And I think secretly all three of us was wondering what the experience in the hotel was going to be like. Because there was two factors. Dad was cheap and he wasn't buying but one room. And me and Mike was both broke and we sure wasn't buying no room. But didn't none of us want to sleep in the bed with each other. And so I know I was getting a little worried. Well, we pulled up to a not so great hotel. And it was dark and we went in there and my dad began to explain our predicament to this lady behind the desk. And she said, I've got the room just for you three fellers. And I thought, oh, this ain't, I don't even know what to expect. And she didn't tell us what the amenities were really, but she just rung us up and all this. She said, now it's going to be like the 15th door down the end of this hallway, outside motel. And we're like, okay, 15. So all the way we're counting, one door, two door. We get to it, it's the last door on the end. And we're like, why couldn't you just say the last one? Anyway, we open the door and it's a room, a hotel room, the longest hotel room you've ever seen with three king-size beds. And we walked in, we said, I don't know who they built it for, but tonight, this is for us. Say amen. And we all were able to sleep in peace. And you know what? God will give you something just for you. Tonight I want to challenge you. Don't think to yourself during the message, wow, if brother so-and-so was here, he really needs to hear this. Tonight let's consider the message just for me. I want you to consider it just for you, because the subject of missions and reaching folks with the gospel and all of that is so essential to the Christian life that you just can't really live a successful Christian life without that. And I mean that with all of my heart. It's the very fabric of the gospel message is to take it and tell it, to receive it and then share it. I said this morning that I wanted to just tell you quickly a couple of the things that your support has helped accomplish through our ministry of Unsheltered International, so I want to make good on that. And I want to tell you that in our Philippines ministry, so far, from January until about mid-November, we've seen God save 232 people in our meal center ministry. Most of those are children. We've seen God save 167 people in the rescue center and street ministry. Those are a mixture of, a lot of those are young people like teenagers and then also families. In our meal center ministry, God's blessed us this year to have 424 children enrolled in that ministry weekly. And that's cool because they're being discipled every single week with our lessons. And we had a summer missions trip, a medical missions trip, in conjunction with our home church, where we saw the Lord save 360 people during that trip. And so that was just awesome. And then in our resource clinic ministry this year, we saw 23 people saved. We were able to give, a lot of people ask about the stuff we provide for those who are homeless and in need. Well, this year, just through the resource clinics, we provided $16,600 worth of medical assistance, $17,280 worth of clothing, $8,516 worth of meals. Check this out, $7,400 worth of hygiene. There's some better smelling people walking around because of our ministry. $3,080 worth of birth certificates, $2,868 worth of haircuts, $1,734 worth of Bibles, $1,053 worth of reading glasses, for a total of $58,531 worth of goods and services through that one program. And the cool thing is, it didn't cost that much to provide that much. We use volunteer hours and goods that are donated, and we pinch pennies and make that happen. At home in Coleman County, so far, we've been blessed to help four different people out of homelessness into homes of their own. And we've provided $6,210 worth of goods and services to people that just call us needing help. And in our winter revival this year in February in New Orleans, we saw five salvations, and we had 242 guests there. And on and on the list goes, but those are a few of the things that God has done. And I do want to reiterate, if you want to go on a mission trip, see me. We've got them planned. They're on the books. We've got one in, a very easy one to go on is February in New Orleans. It's a five-day trip. It's very affordable. We closed the registration, but I know a guy that can still get you in if you want to go. So if you want to go on a trip like that, you can talk to us. We have a medical trip going to the Philippines in, when is that, April? It's in April. Thank you, April, of next year. And there's very little time to sign up for that, but you still could. And I'm telling you, serving God is awesome. And going to the places we get to go is, as they say, awesomer. Amen. Well, Romans chapter number 15. I want to find a verse here and read, let's see. I want to read verses 21 and 22. If you got that, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, Romans 15, 21, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you and praise you. And God, I just ask you that these next few minutes you'd bless them, help us and encourage us, and use us, God, for the glory of yourself. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I really have enjoyed lately the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. It's a real missionary type chapter in that book written by the Apostle Paul. And as an outline for this book, I found in verse number 8, the promise that the Apostle Paul endorsed. It's the promise of the coming Messiah. He said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And in this chapter, specifically verse 8, he endorsed the promise that the Jewish fathers made about the coming of Jesus Christ to be the Messiah for the nation of Israel. But then as you go down in verses 9 through 12, you can find the prophecy that he echoed. And that prophecy, we won't go into it now, but it was the inclusion of the Gentile nations in the plan of God to be able to be saved and have a relationship with God. You can go on down in verses 15 and 16, and you can find the purpose that Paul the Apostle embraced. And we know that his ministry purpose became being the one that of the early church apostles that was called specifically to carry the light, as you would, carry the gospel to the Gentile nations. And he fully embraced his purpose, by the way. And then what I want to get to tonight is found in verses 17 through 23, and that is the passion that the apostle embodied. And we find out that this was a man that was full of zeal and full of passion for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what verse this is. Is it verse number 20? He says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." I have strived, he said. The word strive literally means to make effort. It means to labor using exertion, or to labor or work with earnestness. And so Paul says, basically everything that's within me, my whole self, I have strived to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, he said, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. You don't have to look far in these verses to see passion oozing out of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, what I've observed is that anybody that I've ever known that has actually accomplished something in their life for the work of God, they did so because of God's blessing, I understand that, but in a large part because they wholly gave themselves to that work. They were passionate about it. Pastor Brown, where I went to Bible college, he started Victory Baptist Church in 1975, I think, with just his family and a couple of others. And he ministered and labored for all those years passionately and built a great church that where I actually got to go to Bible college in the embodiment of his passion. My pastor, Pastor Malcolm Carter, has been preaching and laboring for 20 years at the same place in Coleman, Alabama, and God has blessed him. Multitudes have been saved, and a great ministry has been built, but he lives and breathes the work of the Lord that God's called him to do. Your very own pastor. He came here not with a desire to simply have a position and be called pastor. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I talked to him weekly on the phone during that time, especially. And he came here not to just have a job. He left a good job to go to Bible college. He's had all that stuff. And you wonder, why is God blessing Calvary? I can tell you, by and large, one of the aspects of that, not the only reason, but one aspect is there's a man of God and a wife that supports him, and this is what they do, this is what they care about, it's their passion, and if you get close enough to them, you'll feel it, you'll see it, it'll seep out on you. Can I get a testimony? Amen. And the Apostle Paul was just like that, and I found out that if we're going to give, if we're going to live for God, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to do anything that leaves a mark, we've got to be passionate about it. And I want to tell you tonight that every one of us can live passionately for God, especially as we reach the world. And we can do that by following the examples that are in these verses. Example number one, I want you to see that the Apostle Paul in these verses aligned with God's purpose. He aligned himself with the purpose that God had for his life. I took my car the other day to get an alignment. And the people said, "Mr. Sharp, the tie rods are messed up. Your tires are bald. We'll be happy to align it, but it ain't going to stick for long. You need to fix this other stuff first." Our cars get out of alignment. But how many of you know that sometimes our life does as well? And one of the greatest things we can do, I'm not talking to lost people, I'm talking about saved, born again people in church trying to serve God. One of the best things we can do is hit that reset button and say, "God, am I aimed in the area, in the way, the direction you want me to be going? Is my life in line with the will of God and the purpose you have for me?" And I got to tell you, God's got more for us than just going to work and coming home and having supper and going to bed and then going to church and doing the thing and coming home. Listen, God's got an exciting life that we can live where we are true disciples, to where we don't just go through the motions, but where we live with passion and lead others to Christ along the way. And the Apostle Paul lived like that. I truly believe that the purpose of the church is basically to glorify God through making disciples. To glorify God through making disciples. In other words, if we're not making disciples, we might be out of alignment. How do you align with God's purpose? Well, I believe simply by obeying God's call. By obeying God's call. Let me give you this from the book of Jonah. I was meditating on Jonah and his escapades the other day. And the thought came to me that Jonah's biggest problem was that he was unwilling to submit himself to God's purpose for his life. And there's some reasons behind that. I think Jonah probably woke up every day as a prophet, "God, what would you have me to do?" But then one day when God gave him a task that Jonah absolutely didn't want to be responsible for, I think Jonah changed his tune and reconsidered obeying God. But notice this. I want you to notice two things about Jonah. I want you to see what he left and what he lost. The Bible says in Jonah 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." You say, what did Jonah leave? He left the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. When he got out of alignment, he got out literally of the presence of God. This morning we talked about giving, and I get it. When you talk about somebody's finances, man, that's getting close. Somebody say amen. I understand that. I feel that pain sometimes too. I feel that pinch sometimes too. Makes me think about this story I heard about this pastor that had this fellow in his church, and And he knew the fella had money, but the guy didn't give no money. And the preacher went up to him and says, "Bill, how much money do you think you could give in the missionary offering?" He said, "Well, preacher, I think I could give $10 and not feel it." And the preacher said, "Well, Bill, why don't you give 20 and feel it? Do something and feel it." Jonah, when he went down and went the opposite way, he literally left the presence of God. And you know something? Those of you that have left the presence of God on a daily basis, you can feel that, can't you? I know, boy, when I walk away from God's presence, I can sense that emptiness. I can sense that hollowness. I can sense that desire for more in my life. And sometimes I can't exactly put my finger on it, but God always brings me back to a place where I desire His presence. And I want to tell you this. It's awful hard to be faithful in giving and going and reaching and teaching and giving to others when we leave the presence of God. But notice what he lost. When he left the presence of God, he lost his passion. How did Jonah lose his passion? The Bible says that when this storm came up, that all the workers on the ship were going crazy, and they were casting their wares in the ocean. And the Bible says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep, is what the scripture says. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" You ever had somebody say something to you, even in jest, but God tapped on your heart and God used that word to bring deep conviction? Jonah lost his passion. The Bible says he lay fast asleep. And I'm worried today that much of our American Christians in our American churches, we lay fast asleep. And I thank God, His calling to us, saying, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" I thank God saying, "Arise, let's get our passion back, and let's get our fire back, and let's get our zeal back, and let's remember that souls matter, and that the Lord Jesus matters, and living a righteous life matters, and giving ourselves unto the Lord first matters." Paul just aligned himself with God's purpose. Verse 15 says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." He's saying, look, God has given me grace that I should go and accomplish this ministry. And I would bet this evening that God has given grace to you also. And He's given you a purpose. Can I ask you this? Are you lining up with God's purpose for your life? God's got a purpose. And it starts in your local church, doing the basic things. Learning, teaching, giving, growing, discipling. Let's align with God's purpose. Number two. And this is a big one. Not only did the apostle, he aligned with God's purpose. But number two, he adjusted his own plans. This part of the message is so awesome. Well, I'm going to save that for later. But look at verse 22. The Bible says, let's back up to 21. "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand." Now watch this. It carries over into verse 22. "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you. Much hindered from coming unto you. There's at least three times recorded in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul was hindered. That simply means kept from doing what he wanted to do. He was hindered by Satan when he wanted to go to Thessalonica. He told the Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." In other words, we wanted to come see you. I desired greatly to come take a trip and visit you. He says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." How many of you know that Satan is actively trying to hinder the work of God? He was also hindered by the Spirit when he wanted to go to Bethania. In Acts 16 and verse 7, it says, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not." It was right after that that Paul saw the vision of the man in Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." So he was hindered by Satan from going to Thessalonica. He was hindered by God's Spirit from going to Bethania. But in this chapter, the Apostle Paul was literally hindered by himself. Why? Because he had a job to do. He had plans. He had purpose for his life. This was a self-imposed hindrance. He put off what he wanted to do for what God had called him to do. How could he do that? He was living for a cause. His cause was to preach the gospel where it had never been preached. To tell the story where they had never heard. To go where no man had ever gone before. He didn't want to go labor in someone else's vineyard. He said, "I want to go and preach in the regions beyond." He was a true pioneer. So much so that when he fully embraced the call of God for his life, he allowed God's call to interrupt his own desires. Man, you want to know where some true peace comes in? Is when we stop following our fleshly desires and fully fall into the plan that God has for our life. I know you're a preacher pretty good. I guarantee you he'd like to just jump on that Harley and just go for several weeks and not even check in. Am I close? Amen. Y'all might want to go steal his spark plug or something. He might do it. He could go to deer camp and just stay there all hunting season. I mean, I could get on a river and just never get off. I love to fish. There's things I want to do, and there's nothing wrong with having stuff we want to do. And there's nothing wrong with doing things. Praise God. But where's that one? Where's that one that would be so diligent to hear the voice of God that when God says stop, they'd actually stop? When God says over here, they'd move over here. When God says a step forward, they'd move forward. And be fully in tune with the will of God for their life. It doesn't happen if we don't live our life with great passion. And I want to tell you something. You may think that that passion was only contained by the apostles or by the early church. Or you may think that, well, that's pretty good in the pages of the New Testament. But you know, life just ain't like that no more. I want to tell you why life isn't like that much anymore. Because there's a dearth of people who would come to the altar, lay themselves out and say, "Here I am, God, send me." I promise you, the problem's not on the Bible's end. It's not on God's end. if there's a problem. The loose connection. More specifically, right here. Right here. He adjusted his own plans. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Paul said, "Of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause," he said, "I obtained mercy. For this cause, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Let me ask you this question tonight. Will you adjust your plans in order to fulfill God's plans? I'm not asking you to starve yourself. I'm not asking you to do anything that God wouldn't confirm in your heart to do. I'm just asking that we would line up with God's purpose for our life. And then that we would fully give ourselves to that purpose. And there's a freedom that's known only to those that give it all to God. There's a peace and a joy that comes to the servant of God that with 100% of their heart, they say, "God, here I am, and God, here I go." And by the way, can I tell you, a leap of faith sometimes is the most freeing thing that we can do. And a leap of faith is really a step on the most solid foundation we could ever step out onto when we're trusting Christ. Let me give you the third and last one. He aligned with God's purpose. He adjusted his own plans. And we find out in verses 25 through 28, and this is what ties in to this morning's message, he attended to others' plight. He attended to others' plight. You see, the Apostle Paul, he really desired to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher. But if you'll study your Bible good, he finally did make it to Rome. But not necessarily as a preacher, as a prisoner. But here's the cool part. Here's the cool part. Paul didn't much care how he got there. Because even as a prisoner, you know what he did? He preached. He preached. And he attended to others' plight. Romans 15:25. He said, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them, a Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." That's what we talked about this morning. He says, "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." In other words, Paul says, "I want to come see you, but I've been hindered because of my work in the gospel, taking the gospel to the regions beyond." He says, "I'm going to come see you, but first I have a ministry to perform." And it was taking that offering to the poor saints in Jerusalem. He attended to the plight of the saints in Judea, specifically in Jerusalem. How do you attend to others' plight? Well, Paul did it by his affection and by his action. In other words, his affection, he loved the Jerusalem church enough to travel to Jerusalem and administer and deliver this gift. His affection turned into his action. He not only cared and loved them, But he allowed that affection to turn into action. And one of the verses we read this morning and preached on, I want to give you again tonight, 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. Here we see that the Apostle Paul practiced what he preached. He told them at Corinth, perform the doing of it. And then he held up his own desires to take their gift and do it. He practiced what he preached. And folks, that's exactly what we need to do. You say, well, I'm not told anybody I was going to give nothing. When you claim the name of Jesus, when we call ourselves disciples, that call is to be fully involved as a disciple. I like to go to Firehouse Subs because what I don't like is they're grossly overpriced. What I do like is they got all them hot sauces and it's good food. And I went in there the other day. Last week I was somewhere in South Carolina. I went in there and I ordered a hook and ladder or a steamboat, something like that, some big thing. And she said, you want it fully involved? I don't know what that meant, but I'm like, you doggone right I do. Put it all on there. And if we're going to name the name of Christ, we need to be fully involved. In other words, the Christian life, folks, it's not a buffet. We don't be like, look here, I'll take a little blessing over here, and I'll take some Sunday morning church attendance, and yeah, I'm gonna add in a Wednesday night twice a month. Get giving? No, I don't want to do all that. I got stuff going on. I need to. That's not the Christian life. That's religion. That's religion. Religion, you can take it or leave it. And the religious people, they don't care when you take it or when you leave it. Being a Christian is taking all that we are, all that we got, throwing it at the cross and saying, God, you loved me enough to give all you had. I reckon I'll love you enough to give you all I got. And here's the thing. What he had to give us was incomparable. What we have to give him is meager at best. God's not after our money. He's not after our possessions, our stuff. Listen, God's got plenty of that. He's after our heart. Matter of fact, so much so in the book of Proverbs, he said, my son, give me thine heart. The Apostle Paul, I think, fully understood that. That's why he lined himself up with God's purpose. That's why he adjusted his own plans. And that's why he spent time attending to others' plight. And can I tell you, folks, the world's in a mess. The world is in a mess. And it's not going to be the Republicans or the Democrats that fixes the mess. I believe some of them can put some decent band-aids on, but it's still a mess. What we need is the same thing that Jesus brought to me the day I got saved. What he brought to you the day you got saved. And that's a good old-fashioned dose of a heart change. I want to implore you tonight, take the example of Paul's missionary passion and let's apply it to our life. Let's say, God, would you rekindle that fire? God, if there's something you need to adjust, just tell me and let's do business tonight and let's start off fresh tomorrow and let's make a difference for the cause of Christ. Amen. Let's all stand and I'm going to ask Brother Robbie to come over and pray for us and handle the invitation.
Dalton's going to come to the piano. And I tell you what, y'all sit down. I'm just working y'all out. Are y'all good? Brother Travis, that was wonderful. I appreciate the message tonight because it's been something that's been on my heart. And tonight we heard it from a missionary standpoint, from a mission, because that's what we designated this week or this weekend to be. But many of you have been around the choir and you've heard very recently me talk about this very thing about being passionate. I was sitting over there and I was listening to Brother Travis preach, and when he got to his third point, Brother Jesse, the Lord started dealing with me about some things that I'm passionate about. He mentioned the Harley, and I love the Harley. I jumped on it Friday, and I rode down to Daytona and went and spent some time with my dad and went to the car show and jumped back on the Harley and drove back. And man, I had a blast. I mean, I love it. I love hunt. Y'all know that. I mean, I was thinking about that, and I was looking around. I seen old Justin down here, Brother Herman. I seen Brother Brian. I mean, just my view over this way, it ain't good when it comes to the men anyhow. But I was thinking about him, Brother Frank back there. I was thinking about how passionate we are about hunting. Y'all stay with me, ladies. I know y'all ain't got nothing about this. Y'all think of it like this. How passionate you are about getting up at 4 a.m. on a Friday morning after Thanksgiving and going out there and fighting a crowd to buy a whatever. But we sit there, and come on now, I need some help from y'all. I know y'all a bunch of liars, and I don't expect you to tell the truth because then your wife would know. I understand that. But how much passion do we put into our hunt? Don't, Justin's shaking his head, please don't do this to me. And whatever it is, everybody's different. Everybody's different. I ain't expect you to have the same passion as me, but some of these guys, they have the same passion as me. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about it, Brother Travis. Man, we get in the hunt club. Because if we're going to kill a deer, we got to get in the hunt club. I mean, we just ain't. This ain't like Brunswick. You know, over in Brunswick, there's over 100,000 acres of public land. But you won't find that around Lowndes County. And so you got to get in the hunt club. So you pay your dues, you get in the hunt club. Then you get out there, and I mean, we can't just hunt in the woods like they did back in the day. We got to go out there and plant us a food plot. Now, that may come easy for some, but for others, we got to get a tractor from Thomas Hager, go out there and push. That's what I did last year. We're going out there, pushed trees and got all that. Went out there and prepared. Got a tiller from me. Went out there and started plowing all the dirt and set up my food plots. This year I was thankful enough, Brother Jesse went out there and planted all my food plots. Somebody say amen. But I spent a mint on corn. I mean, because they said it's legal to hunt deer over corn now. And I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. Makes it a lot easier when them yellow acorns are falling, right? So ain't no telling. I ain't gonna ask you, Justin, how much money you spent on corn, but I know last year I spent, man, I think I had 6 drums of corn that I put out last year and fed turkeys. Didn't kill a one. This year I'm gonna buy corn on the cob, $8.50 a bag, and pouring it to them. Seeing some deer, killed one. Man, it was awesome. Everybody with me? Y'all, is everybody still with me? Well, I had to get a gun. I mean, come on now. You have to have a gun to hunt. And so we get the gun, and Jesse, what do we have to do? We got to go side it in, so we spend a day on the range, me and Jesse do, out there, going out there, shooting the guns, getting them all sided in and everything else. And I bow hunt. Y'all know I love to bow hunt, so I got to get ready for that. I got to make sure my bow's right. I've already taken it to the bow shop this year, and I've done things. Got to make sure you got, you know, broadheads. You got to have arrows. They need to be straight so they fly good. And I mean, your bow needs to be tuned. And y'all stay with me, ladies. I know I'm losing y'all, but the fellas are getting it, all right? Man, we got to have new camo because, I mean, last year's camo was 4X, and I can't fit in it no more, so I had to get some new camo. I had to do some things like that. And I mean, you know, even though our grandpa killed him in a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, we got to blend in with the surroundings. Got to have a tree stand. Got to, come on, y'all. Help me. We go through all this stuff. Why? Because we're passionate about it. We spend money on all these little things. We spend money on our bows. We spend money on our arrows. We spend money on ammo. We spend money on a gun. We spend money on a tree stand. We spend money on a food plot. We spend money on a hunting club. We spend money to rent a tractor so that we can plant everything. We spend money on corn. Y'all see what I mean? Why? Because we are passionate about it. But so many times we come to church, and I'm not talking about just money here. I realize that's what we're dealing with today and the giving and all. But I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about being passionate about the church. Being passionate about our ministries in the church. Because we're passionate about shooting a deer, which makes us and forces us to be passionate about the tools that we need to do that. Now, if we're going to say we're passionate about reaching the lost, then we ought to be just as passionate about the tools. I know it's good. Y'all ain't got to tell me it's good. Y'all sit there and look at me. Michelle, take a listen. Did y'all hear her? That's good, babe. I like that. She said it while he was preaching. I liked it. She said, amen, babe. I ain't heard that one before. Michelle learned something. I had Michelle up there. Amen, baby. You're doing good, honey. But anyhow, I was thinking about, because I'm passionate about a deer, I'm passionate about the tools that it takes. I'm not asking you to be passionate and sign your money over to us. I'm asking you just what he's talking about. Be passionate about the ministry. The church is a tool. The missionary is a tool. Not to be abused. But I can't do what the Bible's instructed me to do without the missionary. So he is a tool for me to accomplish what I say I'm passionate about. The church is a tool as well. How many people have y'all brought to church? How many people do you know that showed up to this church and got saved? The church is a tool. The choir. Sunday school classes. College. Children's ministry. What if we were as passionate? If we're as passionate as we said we are, why don't we get so passionate? I need somebody to help me. We'll go out and spend hours in a tree stand. Spend hours working a food plot. Spend out doing all kind of hours to do what we're passionate about. We ought to have the same passion. The Lord's just convicting me while I'm sitting up there. I am passionate about this church. Every hour of every day, my mind is on this church. Even when I try to get away from this church, my mind is on this church. And it hurts. I shared this with the choir. Maybe we shouldn't be even have this on Facebook, but I shared it with the choir. I'm passionate about it. And then to come in on a Sunday night, and I want you to look at how passionate the people that was here this morning are. And I don't care if they are watching on Facebook Live. It ain't the same as being here. We say we're passionate about things, but we're not really passionate about it. I'm not asking you to give any more money. I'm not asking you to do that. But I am asking you to be passionate about what you said you're passionate about. This is the backbone of our church, right here. The ones that are sitting here tonight, they're the ones. You are the ones. People tell me all the time, you can count on me, preacher. I can't even count on you to be here on a Sunday night, but you're the ones I count on. I want to be passionate. I hope you see that I'm passionate. But I hope tonight we're all take some time around the altar and get passionate about the things of God, which is reaching the lost, whether they're here whether they're in our community, whether they're in our state, whether they're in our country, or whether they're abroad. And start pouring the same kind of passion into the tools so that we can accomplish the purpose God's given us. Heads bowed with me. Altars are open. How passionate are we? Nothing wrong with being passionate about hunting a deer. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about riding a motorcycle. There ain't nothing wrong with being passionate about your shopping, your kids, your cooking, whatever. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if we're going to devote, we're going to be passionate about things like that, how much more so should we be passionate about the things of God? It was God who died for you. Not Harley Davidson. It was God who gave His life for you. We ought to be passionate about what He was passionate about. And what He was passionate about was the world. For God so loved the world. The people of it. Cross, the work of the cross is called His passion. Tonight, Sunday school teacher, be passionate. Help her out in children's church. Help her in Sunday school. Care team member. Choir member. Folks, security, the people that are doing it behind the scenes, nobody even knows. Let's be passionate about it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight, Lord, thanking You, Lord, for the message. Lord, I pray tonight that I was a help and not a hindrance. Lord, Your messenger done a fine job, and Lord, I didn't mean to take anything away from it. But God, You laid on my heart how passionate I am about things and how passionate I am about the tools that I use to accomplish those things. Lord, I pray that we get passionate. Fall in love again with You. Fall in love again with the church. Fall in love again with the things that move You. Align, Lord, with Your purpose. Understanding Your purpose to begin with. Purpose being people. Lord, align with Your purpose. Adjust, Lord, our schedule. Adjust our plans. God, help us not to allow You, Lord, what You were passionate about. Become a disinterest for us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us attend to others' plight. Lord, there's a lot of broken people, as He talked about this morning, that need somebody to stand in the gap. Need somebody that's passionate. God, I pray that You'd use us, use Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that are here tonight. God, I pray that You'd bless them. Lord, I pray that You'd use them. Lord, as we leave out of here tonight, I pray, God, that we continue to enjoy our passions. And Lord, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. And God, I don't feel like You are, but Lord, I pray that we get passionate about, Lord, what Your passion is. Help us put a priority. praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray.